There is a fellow I know up in Bluntstown who makes wooden boats.
He makes most of the river boats, yeah.
Most of the river boats, mm-hmm. Okay.
He makes what you call a batteau.
Right.
The batteau, right. The river, the square in it, river boat. We call them a batteau. Some of them call them a john boat.
Yes.
But it's a square in it batteau. Yes, so there's a place in Bluntstown.
Is there anybody else around that you know that makes those batteaus?
No, sir, I don't know of any other place that makes them.
How has the fishing industry, or just fishing in general, around Panama City changed in the last 20 to 30 years?
Well, the biggest thing I know of is the commercial business. It went from drag seines, mostly to purse seines, mm-hmm. bigger operations. They used to catch all their fish with a beach seine, drag it to the beach. Catch all the bait, cigar minnows and blue runners and skipjacks. But now they've got boats that fish further from the hill with a purse seine, and that's the biggest change that I know of.
And they're catching a lot more fish.
A lot more bait fish. Mm-hmm. Not as much. Not. They're not supposed to. Well, I better not say that. But anyway, see, I don't know. I was putting this to the public. But anyway, that's the biggest change that I know of. They're still doing a little beach gill netting, still got gill netters. Only thing the gill netters has changed from is from pulling oars onto a kicker boat, faster boats, bigger nets, longer nets, traveling over more territory and catching. That I don't know if they catch more fish. They might catch more, but they travel over more territory and to do it with much more ease because they don't have to row the boat so much. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, and over in Port St. Joe, where I was there for many years, they've got those kicker boats. They can go for all around that bay. Well, we used to pull oars. You used to pull oars. I used to fish over there with the Andersons and Rarefields and different ones, and we'd pull all up and down that bay for 7 or 8 miles mm-hmm. fishing. Now they got a boat that can go around there in 30, 40 minutes, see? And be run, look over the bay all the way around and come on back, find a bunch of fish. They throw it out and strike around real fast. Well, we had to roar. I rode over around over there, fished over there when I was young, where you had to pull all night long, pull oars all night long.
Has the increased population and industry on the bays affected fishing too?
Tremendously. There is so much traffic. In the beaches during the warm months, until right here in front of my house on Beach Drive. Used to, you go down with the cast net. Of course, I never did it much, but people go down there and catch a good mess of mullet. You can hardly see a fish because it's from 1 to 15 and 20 people, and you're about any hour of the day in the summertime out there with dragging tubs and crab nets and things, crabbing. And the population of the people and buildings on the beaches has hurt the population of the fish industry. I mean, as far as, I don't mean the commercial. I meant for individual and pleasure. It's hurt it tremendously.
How do you feel about all that change?
Well, you can't stop progress. I'm driving down the beach yesterday, and I looked at the condominiums and the houses being built between the highway and the Gulf. I said to my partner, I said, it won't be long before you can't get to the beach, because there was lots and lots, private, no trespassing. We couldn't go to the beach. If you want to stop and walk out and look at the water, you couldn't do it. You're on another man's property. It'll soon be where you cannot get to the beach, see? But you can't stop progress. Up the country where there's no place to build and to live, see, the people are moving south.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of wide open spaces to build. Mm-hmm. And you can't stop progress. You can't hinder progress. Not just, here's what I'd say, now I'm using a personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For my little bit of pleasure, such as going, catching a mess of fish, I couldn't stop somebody from moving down here and having a home and coming here and spending several thousand dollars a year to live in my neighborhood. See, I wouldn't want him to be deprived of a place to put him home and to live here just for me going to the beach for a few minutes out of the year. See?
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yep. Well, yeah. You know, you can't stop money anyway, even if you wanted to, I bet.
No,
that's,
you
that's
can't
another
stop.
Way to look at it, I suppose.
You can't stop it because they've got money and they buy their land to people that's got their land and wants to sell it. And And I say you cannot hinder progress.
Of course, some people might argue with you that that's progress, but that's a whole other argument.
Yeah. Well, when you start trying to hinder places from building, you can't do it. In other words, it's not the right thing. Well, I wouldn't even want to come against that. I wouldn't even want to say anything against it because it's progress and it's building up our country and all, where people are having places to live because of the population explosion. You've got to have something like that to take care of it.
Yeah, and there are so many areas,
certainly not along the coast, but in the panhandle in general, where nobody lives.
Right.
Of course, I don't know if I'd want to either, but that's
no, but that's another problem. Just like I told him, people saying, well, up the country, people are walking on one that was so thick. I said, well, they haven't moved to Florida. I said, we got up. I told him from where we was at, all the way back through the panhandle, there was woods out there. Never nobody built a house. If they had to have a place to live, they could build a house back in there and live. There might not be nothing to make a living at. But
yeah, there's lots and lots of square miles where nobody lives in the panhandle.
Yes, right.
Huh. Well, that covers most of the things that I wanted to on this. Okay, you were saying something about the moonlight hitting the fish?
Moonlight will damage fish if it's real bright moonlight. I have saw fish that was whitened. The meat had turned white. It looked like they was struck, like sunstruck. You know what a sunstroke, fish get sunstruck. Well, they're not spoiled through and through, but the meat is damaged by the sun. Mm-hmm. The rays of the moon in real bright moonlight, I have known of it in years past in gill netting without any ice or any cover. The gill netting that would be damaged, a few fish in the bunch. It would not be a great big damage, but you'd find a few that would struck by the bright moonlight.
You were going to say something about another superstition?
Superstitions they used to have with Mr. Raphael. He's dead and gone. Mr. Bob Raphael used to would not let you say the word alligator on the boat. Or they wouldn't let you turn a hatch cover bottom upwards. That's old superstitions. Of course, that didn't have anything to do. It didn't make any difference. We knew that. But he just said it was bad luck. He called it bad luck. And if you said it a time or two and anything happened on the way out. I remember one time. We had trouble, I believe, with a skiff coming loose. A skiff loose and had two or three things to happen. And he anchored. He said, on account of some of the superstitions that he had, I believe it was on Sunday night or on something, and he waited till daylight. There's things that he wouldn't let you do. And one of the superstitions was say, alligator. He made everybody say, queer fella. Queer fella. You know what? Queer, like a curious, like a odd.
Queer, something unusual.
Queer, unusual. Mm-hmm. Queer feller is what he made him say in the place of an alligator. One of his superstitions.
Huh. So if for some reason the word alligator came up in the boat, for whatever reason, you had to say queer fella instead.
Right. If he said it very much, he'd anchor the boat. Stop. We'll get things straightened out.
How would you counteract the bad luck of an alligator? Why would you have to stop?
I really don't know. That's been so many years ago. I won't know. But anyhow, he would make, if you was at the dock, he wouldn't let you go with him if he said that very much. He was just that superstitious.
Any other superstitions like that he used to believe in you can remember?
Not that I remember right now.
That's a pretty good one.
That's a good one. I wouldn't want that to get back to his people too much because he died on the strike. Right? He's died holding the seine down while he's pulling, poor fella.
Well, one way to go, I guess.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that on tape because that's a good story.